Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. That's all the bank you need. This afternoon, I'm joined for a young man, Ethan Leand. How are you, Ethan? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine today.
I know. You're coming. You're excited. You're ready to go. It's a little while since I've been on for Youth Unplugged. Guys, I want to apologize for that. I've been a little bit unwell. And I'm back here today, thankfully. And back to do a show, which I'm actually very excited to do. This young man has a few, you know, a bit of records underneath his belt. And I think we're going to talk about that as well. And, of course, the direction that you're choosing to go with your life. Mm-hmm. So let's start here. Just tell me a little bit about yourself, Ethan. Let's let Lucia know, who is Ethan Leand? If I had to walk up to you and tell me a little bit about yourself. You could tell me something, right?
I could tell you something.
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, my name is Ethan Leand. I'm 19 years old. I just turned 19 this year. So it's been a journey so far. Mm-hmm. You could say I'm a youth advocate, but I don't like the label that much. But I'm interested in all things environment, all things students, all things young people, especially the advocacy of education, climate change, and just the overall well-being of young people my age.
Well, I mean, that's something I could say, you know, I want to big up yourself, because I'm actually a big fan of the environment. I'm not a big fan of EVV, I'll tell you that. I'm not a big fan of hybrids and all that, but a big fan of the environment. And I think we could speak a little bit about that. Of course, you've represented St. Lucia in a number of different levels when you speak about youth advocacy. To be assisted nationally, of course, National Students Council.
Yes.
Of course, you've also done a bit at the regional level. But we'll get to that in a little while, right? You mentioned that you're 19 years old and, of course, recently completed your CAPE subjects, right? Let's talk about that. Schooling-wise, where did you go to school?
Well, originally, I went to St. Mary's College, and then after I went to Sir Arthur Lewis Community College.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
So at Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, I did economics, trade, and finance. The program was good. It was challenging. Mm-hmm. But I thought like it was better for me to do CAPE as well. So I did
compared to your associate's degree.
Yeah.
Now I want to spend a little time on that because obviously we have a lot of students now who are applying for Sir Arthur Lewis. I lecture at Sir Arthur Lewis, so probably I'm a bit biased, but I'm a big fan of CAPE.
Yes.
Right. At a college now, we offer AD programs, associate degrees in respective fields. So if you want to do biology or chemistry or some sort of business or whatever, you could do that in associate degree form. Or you could go ahead in some cases and do CAPE subject, which is the A level, the advanced proficiency of CXC.
Yes.
Right. I mean, if you're aiming to go to University, West Indies, etc., I could tell you do CAPE. Mm-hmm. Right. But why did you do CAPE instead of associate degree?
I did both, actually. So I did my associate's degree in economics and my CAPE. But at the CAPE level, the reason why I decided to do that is I had this really, really big dream of going to one of the big universities in America. So Harvard, Stanford.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I thought that would set me apart would be taking subjects at the CAPE level along with my associate's degree. And I think that did the case, but I didn't get in, but I got on the waiting list of Harvard, so I think that's
it. No, we're going to take that. We're going to take that because, watch me, we have one foot in the door when you see any waiting list.
Yeah.
We consider it, anyway.
Right.
We consider it. We'll take that. All right, but 12 CAPE units completed, which means that you did 6 subjects in Unit 1 and 6 subjects in Unit 2. Normally, you would do 5 subjects in Unit 1 and, of course, another 5 subjects in Unit 2. Most people do 5, and I think 5 is really challenging, right? I did 5. I couldn't imagine doing 6, right? It's not something that you normally hear. How was that for you?
Well, the thing that made it harder was that I did it in 1 year. So it was my second year of my associate's degree, and I did all the units in 1 year. So I had 43 exams. A month straight of exams every day for last year. So that period of my life was very busy. Every day I was studying before that. So
that's a little crazy because I actually thought that you did the subjects in 6 in year 1 and 6 in year 2. But to do all of the exams in one sitting is a little...
Yeah.
It's a little, I mean, I know you're Sumerian, you know. But I mean, that one is a little bit much. So, and again, you were successful with every single subject.
Every single subject. I got an award at the national level for finance. So I topped the island in finance. Yeah. So I did information technology, computer science, management business, economics.
Now, you're losing me for words here for a little bit, because if you do 12 subjects in one sitting and still end up with a subject award, right, that tells me a lot about you. Let's dial back a little bit, right? That's Cape. What was CXC like?
Oh, well, CXC, I got mostly all ones placed on the national merit list for a couple subjects.
Okay.
Yeah, so economics and history.
Okay, so that was not miles off it for you. That was something that you were already used to doing. You understand? So that was no flex for you. You understand? You were there already. You already collected a national award. I mean, when you collect a national award at CXC and you come to Sir Arthur, there is one specific day that you have to leave class early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you leave class early and you go and collect your award, you come back to the school with your award in your hand, and everybody saying, hey, damn that top of the island for math, or damn that top of the island for physics. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have students who got awards, subject awards at CXC, and actually moved on to Cape and got the subject award again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's always interesting to see natural progression, at least from the CXC level to Cape. So it's very interesting, again, to see that you were able to complete 12 subjects within the within one sitting.
Right.
And, of course, trying to do that associate's degree as well at SALCC. But in general, you know, I'm not here to talk about Sartre Lewis only, but what was your experience like at SALCC?
Oh, that experience is, like, really, really challenging, but not in the ways that I would have thought, because it was a COVID year, so the COVID was really... My first year was COVID, so I didn't come into the school the whole year. And then the second year, I was just thrusted into, classes with... That's my first time in classes with girls.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, even from the primary school level, I...
So you went to RC?
Yes, I'm doing RC, so...
I like it, because I went to RC, I went to SMC, yeah. I went to South, I faced a similar struggle. But, I mean, in my first year, I wasn't focused at all. Mm. I can tell you. So thank God you were online. Right, because you probably be like me. My first year, I wasn't focused at all. You know, you had girls in class, you all around the school troubling girls. And second year is when I really picked up myself and said, "Well, you know what?
Yes,
let me actually do something."
Yeah,
you understand. And you felt that struggle moving into second year,
especially the things I wanted to do with, like, extracurriculars.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do the debate team. So I helped the team on the national level, on the Winwood level, do the national competition. And also, we did a couple of debates at Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, and I took part. It was a really enriching experience, because I was always taking photos, and I was always, you know, Ethan, give me a picture.
I think that's all part of the college life as well, because it's a big transition from secondary school moving into the tertiary level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the clubs that they offer at the school, of course, debating club is huge. When I say shout out to the Hunter J. Forsoa Library and, of course, the Derek Walcott Library as well. They always put this thing on the poetry slams, etc., to help develop young, again, poets and, of course, people who are interested in debating as well. And that goes a long way. I mean, helping you develop yourself as an individual.
As you mentioned, the poetry slam, I actually took part, and I did a poem entitled Bird Boss. And that was...
Before Shemi J.
So, yes, I should have copyrighted it.
Right then.
So, yes, I did a poem which was entitled Bird Boss.
Mm-hmm.
It was really about, like, the troubles of a young man in this environment with young women these today, and how it's really hard to stay loyal and this kind of thing. So,
and of course, stay focused. That's the most important one. Let's not say loyal, but let me say focus. Stay focused. Focus in all aspects.
Right.
And I mean, you see it every day. I mean, at the school, and you see students now in somewhere, and then tomorrow is now in somewhere else. I mean, I pass and I see, you know, I don't see anything. You understand? But I observe.
Right.
I even sitting down in the class sometimes, you see things happening there. But I mean, that's the age for that. Of course, Ethan, we have here in 2022, you earned a prestigious position as the president of the National Students Council, right? What are some of the roles of the president of the National Students Council and the Students Council in general? What do you guys do?
Right, the Students Council is an organizing body that represents all students' councils around the island. So we most likely do elections for all the students' councils in the north and south of the island. Sometimes we have to start the council and actually foster the advocacy in that school. Last year we did a lot of advocacy things around violence and education, which is a big thing today, and how, you know, the whole 6 and 7 thing, So we had to actually had a whole campaign around violence, you know, stop the violence. And we talked to the police commissioner, and we actually advocated for more police presence, because it's always good to have police presence, especially in the city center, so that a lot of the
things that happen after school may not happen, because traditionally, I think we've all been part of that. Anyone listening as well could say that, because when you go to school, right, at least at secondary school, even Sir Arthur Lewis, probably not so much Sir Arthur, because we have the school at the college to Lyme. So traditionally, students from Sir Arthur Lewis don't really come to town to Lyme. You know, it'll probably be secondary school students who doing the Lyme in around town, filling up KFC and all these places.
So a lot of the activities was going down into town, and we thought that as a Ministry of Education, as St. Lucians, we should actually put safe spaces for students to go after school or after school programs. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate, so I had other things doing, such as debate and peer counselors, so I didn't get into that life, which I could have easily been into. So
I got like to tell you, I was in it. At some point, when I was in secondary school, I would be in town, and I was like, every Friday, I would go to town. I mean, it was still Burger King at the time, right? And we'd probably sit by Burger King and buy food. And that's the place. It was social, you know. That's where you would meet people. But I don't remember getting into trouble, right? These days, we see a lot of different things. But at the time, it would be probably Burger Plus or Burger King. You'd sit down there and have a meal after school, and you'd meet people from the other secondary schools. That's how I met a lot of the friends that I have now. Not necessarily only people I went to school with at SMC, but people I would meet from Leon Hess. And so you'd meet girls. And so, because, hey, you're going to college, bro. And it's that you have no girls in the school. So you come to town. And of course, Mr. Sion would be hard on us. I mean, sometimes they would have a fight in town or something, and you see fellas get suspended. And these things have never, it's not stopped. You know, it continues to happen. But I agree with you that we need to have some sort of safe spaces as well to counteract some of the things that we see happening nowadays. You see school fights sometimes, people recording that, and then students in uniform getting suspended, expelled, etc. for a lot of petty stuff. You know, and some of these things can be avoided. So that was your campaign for 2022. Of course, are you still the president of the National Council, or have you...
Well, currently I am the president, officially,
on paper.
But we have elections, and hopefully in September, or September, November, we'd have a election for students that want to come up. So they would have an election process. The election process would take that they would, you know, campaign in their schools, campaign around the whole island, all the delegates, and they would be elected on the national day where we have all our elections for the National Youth Council and the National Students Council.
Okay, so at Arthur Lewis, were you ever part of the Student Council there? Because the Student Council at Arthur Lewis, actually, they do a bit, I mean, around the school. Were you ever part of that?
Well, I was a part of the formation of the current Students Council. So we did a lot of work with the Arthur Lewis Council to have an active Students Council coming from COVID. So this was one of the, I guess you can say, accomplishments of my presidency.
Okay. Well, we could take that because, I mean, in COVID, you would not have students doing much.
Right.
I mean, now they have Campus Carnival. That's something that they started last year. They tried to reignite it this year, but it didn't really happen. But you could see the small steps that they take. I mean, there's a bit of a photography club now.
Right.
I mean, you have an Instagram page dedicated to student life. The marketing department has done a lot. You have a lot of pop-ups underneath the big tree, and these things to help students join into the clubs, etc. So I think that the council at the school is actually doing well.
Right.
So if you were the pioneer for that, I'd like to say, again, big up to you.
Well, big up the president, current president. Yeah. I respect her so much, Shady Gustav. She's a very, very, very... Everybody should look out for her. She's a very...
I think I need to get her onto the show probably before I actually promised to get at least two students from South Louis onto the show this year, and probably she could be my second.
Right. She has just appointed as the regional focal point for all of climate change in the Caribbean. Okay. So for the youth person,
we'll definitely get her in before the year comes to an end. Of course, 2023, you actually made Again, I don't see a cameo, but you made a presence at the Commonwealth Students Association, and I guess you advocated for something, right? So let's talk about your experience at the Commonwealth in 2023.
So the Commonwealth Students Association is kind of the parent organization of the Caribbean Youth Council and our Youth Council. So we had a campaign as the representative for St. Lucia for violence, because violence around the region and violence around the Commonwealth is something that we're focusing on, especially the Year of the Youth and the Year of Impact, which is this year. We spoke about the campaign we did on the national level, mm-hmm. and we did a lot of work with the Commonwealth Students Council executive to kind of provide workshops and other experiences for students to have in around the region.
Okay, so apart from that, did you do any work specific to climate science or anything like that last year?
Well, last year, personally, I did a lot of work doing cleanup campaigns with the Caribbean Youth Environmental Network. And this was a kind of an enlightening experience, because it kind of told me that, hey, this is a very big problem and we need to work on it. And obviously, it's getting hot. Everyone's getting sweaty.
No, and it's very early this year.
You're right. Yeah. So that kind of inspired me to have this whole 360 of what I wanted to do, because, hey, I need to do something about this. I have the skills, I have the ability. So most recently, I was at the CARICOM Youth Conference, where we did training on climate change, getting project proposals, training, and grant funding. And so this was a really good experience, because we went to Guyana. I was in a hotel the first time, traveling by myself and this kind of things. And then we went to the Caribbean, the CARICOM Secretariat. And we did a lot of work where we had sessions. We did practical project proposal work. And yeah, hopefully we'd want to have a concrete project proposal by the end of this month. And we would have something to present to CARICOM, so hopefully that they fund it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, you could use that information as well, yes, to help even at the national level. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do small bits. I mean, even at the secondary schools or even at the tertiary level at South Louis. So I hope you could use that information to help even write a proposal to some of the schools or even to the Ministry of Education. We could speak about more trash cans, for example. We have sometimes a problem with litter. I think the school recently had, you remember that big whale they had under the tree? They had, it was designed to take in plastic bottles and try to recycle these plastic bottles. I think we could probably even start something like a recycling campaign at the secondary schools, because some of these things can go a long way to helping, you know, our climate and, of course, our global warming, which is affecting us tremendously. You made mention to the fact that you also got recognized last year for student leaders under 18 by the Caribbean Regional Youth Council. I think that's an amazing achievement for you.
I'll be humble here.
No, but you could take it. Yeah. You could definitely take it. I mean, it's always interesting when you get recognized as something. It's not because of why you're popular and I get an award. No, it's really sometimes because of the work that you do, people recognize that. And it's amazing to see that at 18 years old, you got that award from the Caribbean Regional Youth Council, which shows that there's a lot of promise in what you're doing. And again, I want to congratulate you for that.
Thank you.
With that, I mean, we have a few minutes left, but what's next for you?
Well, hopefully, I want to go to Taiwan or Morocco. So
Let's say Taiwan.
Hopefully, I want to go to Taiwan to get my education in economics, so a bachelor's in economics or something to do with computer science. That's the two things. Yeah,
you see, that's the part that has me a little bit confused, because if you're pro climate change, why economics? I mean, there is a economic side of climate change, so probably we could see a master's in years to come. Why not a pure science? You seem like a guy that, you know, I'm a science person, so I like to get more climate scientists around.
Well, I think the tools for a good person to affect change in the future would be economics, so research and actually getting, you know, practical solutions to problems we have, and a computer science, somebody that can code some something. And so I think those tools would allow me to accomplish what I want to do in the future. So that would be like the path forward. Obviously, I'd want to actually continue my climate education. This year, I got a certificate from Oxford to do climate science. Mm-hmm. So that was just a first thing for climate change.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, it's great. It's great to see that you still have some sort of passion for it. I remember the first time I was actually introduced to anything climate related. I was at the University of the West Indies, and I had I did a course in geography and land formation or whatever, and a bit of environmental science. So my degree is basically chemistry with environmental science, and I was actually asked by my professor to stay over for the summer to do more research on solar panels, because that's what we were specifically working on, incidence of light and how dirt and these things can affect a solar panel, and how effective solar panels tend to be, right? I actually could not do that because it was a COVID period and everybody got sent back home. I mean, so my little stint in climate change was paused. I had a little pause and actually applied to do a master's in natural resource and energy management and so forth with climate change as one of my specific areas in the postgraduate, and I couldn't do it. Yeah, there's that. So whenever I see young people interested in climate change, I say, boy, go for it. You know, 100% go for it. I didn't go for it. I took a step back and decided to change where I was focused at the time. And I think that if you want to continue, just go, you know. Just go for it. Don't step back in climate change or climate science, as a matter of fact.
Right. There's a lot of opportunities for young people in our society to get recognition, to get funding, to get actual job, high-paying jobs in climate science, in climate research. So it's not like a field that, you know, like it
ain't going anywhere, you know. Yeah. It's there because it's, again, if you don't know people, we have been affected by, of course, rising sea levels. It's happening. It's happening in the coastal areas. I think people down in Miko and Denry and these places would recognize it. I mean, we're losing some of our coast. The coral reefs are being bleached. I mean, we've seen a bunch of sargassum in our coastal areas. You drive down to Beaufort and you smell it. You understand? You pass through Prale, you smell it, sargassum right through. And we have to ask ourselves, why? It's a change in the climate. I mean, we say, but wow, boy, it hot. It real hot, you know. Unprecedented levels of drought. You know, Wasco had to send a bunch of notices the other day, and we had to ask ourselves why, you know. So we have to try to make some sort of change, even if it's a small change, because we could say that we're a dot, you know. We're not the ones really contributing to that climate change, but at the end of the day, we still have to try to mitigate some of the things that we have and how we could go about with that. We have 3 minutes left, and I have two more questions for you, right? Who inspired you to go into the direction? Youth policy, youth advocacy.
Well, I think I grew up around a great crop of leaders, so Jaluk Constantine, Alan Splann, so I went through the whole of school with them. So I think like that whole like environment of leadership and those kind of things just inspired me to just continue forward. But most recently, Miss Yannicka Jema.
We had her last week, you know.
Right. Yeah. She's the one that actually like sent me to a lot of the events that I've been a part of. So she's been championing me as well. So big up Yannicka. Also Ray in Grizzly
Montoot.
Ray Montoot, right. I haven't spoke to her. I haven't said this to her, so she'll be hearing this, but I think she inspired me a lot. Especially she winning awards last year, and she did an event with us, and that event was so well done, and I was so inspired by her, her leadership abilities, and she's always on the ground, so her as well.
Okay, we actually had her on the show last year as well, so I think we're picking all the right youth leaders. I mean, we have you here, and probably we could have you again in the future, probably in a different capacity. Okay, any obstacles that you've encountered along the way? I mean, sometimes we could face a bit of, you know, hard times again within our studies, etc. Anything that notable mentions that you have? Any obstacles you face?
Well, once I was doing Cape, like literally the month after, I got a job one time and I collapsed on my way down to the job because I just studied for like a whole month straight, 3 hours, exams whole day, And then after study, you wake up early. And so my body was just tired, so I collapsed. I had to go to the hospital, the polyclinic, and I got an IV and those kind of things. But further than that, it would just be the kind of system fighting against young people. So I've experienced a lot of, you know, people saying like, no, he's too young. Even the young people saying, no, he's too young.
And we get that. Yeah. I remember, again, as a young person growing up, you know, people ask you, but what are you doing with this? So what are you doing now? You're too young for that. Mm. And that's something that I don't ever like to hear people say. You're never too young for anything. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can do it, go ahead and do it. Right. And 12 Cape subjects. Yeah, I did one city. That's madness. Yeah, that's craziness, right? And you're able to do it.
Right.
So that's a catalyst. Use that to push you forward. And don't wait till you can do it. Thank you so much, Leandre. Any words you want to leave with us? And of course, any young people listening to the show?
Well, I just employ everybody to chase your dreams. Like, there's nothing stopping you. Maybe people would say something, but there's nobody really in your way telling you you cannot do that. And so you can chase your dreams no matter how impossible it is. I have this system every day I do where I have like 3 goals. And most of the time it's ridiculous. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, why even put that? So, and each year I don't get the goal, but I'm one step closer
to that goal.
Yeah. And so that method have served me a lot in my life. So set big goals and go after it every day.
And you can take that.
Right.
You know, progress, not perfection. You're going to continue moving towards it. All right. Thank you so much, Ethan, Mr. Leandre. Oh, Leanne, my bad. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today. Of course, I want to wish you the best. Of course, I'm hoping that you get that scholarship in share education. Just let's sign my boy up one time. We'll tell you 12 subjects on true. We sending him to Taiwan, of course. We sending him to become an economist.
Right.
We're going to send him to that. So thank you so much, Ethan. I'm going to say a big shout out to the Bank of St. Lucia. Making it possible every single week. Youth Unplugged. I will see you guys again next week. Next week, we're going to have a really nice show next week. I don't say too much about it, but a really nice show next week. And I'm looking forward to that. My name is Cardiff. I will see you guys again on Saturday morning, God willing, with Marie.